All right, delighted to be joined by Padraig Amond, who has a big weekend coming up in the FA Cup, playing for Newport County against Brighton on Sunday night. Has a great record in the competition with 12 goals in the competition proper and 14 overall. Padraig, before we get to this weekend and your streak of goals in the FA Cup, what are your early memories of the competition?
I think it's one of my first memories in football. It's the first game I can remember. The 93 FA Cup final when Arsenal played at Sheffield Wednesday, but it's a very, very vague memory of it. I think my mum and dad had gone away to a wedding. I think we've been allowed to stay up a little bit longer to watch the cup final. And I don't remember who scored the goal. I know it was 1-0 to Arsenal. I don't remember much about it, but I remember seeing this crowd, seeing the amazing scenes when the trophy was presented. And following year was the first real memory. I can remember the United beating Chelsea 4-0 in the final and Cantona scoring the two penalties, and kind of that's where my first real, that year probably kicked off how much football I loved watching, because the World Cup was on and I was only 6 at the time, but I just straight away I was mesmerised by it all.
Were you kind of caught up in the pageantry as well? Because as we remember, like the 96 Cup final, you know, there's the whole build up with the white suits and all that kind of thing. And I remember back in the day, it would be a kind of 3-hour thing even before the game. Like you kind of get to the TV and you watch the whole thing. It's probably changed now, but for you, were you kind of watching the whole spectacle?
Yeah, completely. And I think the big thing was, and people now might not realise this, young people now, is that every game is on TV now. Back then, every game wasn't on TV. It was, you know, select games. The FA Cup final was always on. And it was a game that it was always on free terrestrial TV, and everyone always looked forward to it. And like you said, the Liverpool players rocking up to Wembley in the white suits is always kind of a massive standout moment for a lot of people. And, you know, it's always said, and maybe that's why that Liverpool team didn't win much. They were too much interested in, you know, the outside of it all. But you listen to different players in the podcast speak about it, and you know, it was kind of a freebie. That's the only reason they wore it, because it was a freebie. But yeah, these are moments that stick out, and kind of people always remember them.
Yeah, and your level, as I said, with Robbie Keane and Jonathan Walters, in terms of the competition proper, in terms of Irish goal scorers, with 12. You're actually on 14 overall, though, if we take in the qualifying rounds. What do you remember of that? The two goals you scored for Grimsby against Harrogate?
Yeah, I can remember them like they were yesterday, because my wife's parents had come over to the game as well. We won, I think it was 4-1 or 4-0, not 4-1 I think it was in the game. And look, it was just the excitement, I think, for non-league teams to that last fourth round qualifying game, to get to the first round proper, and then to almost have the dream of getting to the third round, because that's, look, every lower league team or non-league team dreams of the third round, the Premier League side on TV, away from home or at home, whatever it might be, because financially it's worth a lot of money to the clubs. And, you know, people talk about maybe scrapping replays, and I know the replays are gone for this year, but it's a unique year, what we've just had. But replays in the FA Cup, especially for lower league teams, they're worth an awful lot of money. And, you know, the scrapping replays would only benefit maybe the top 5-6 in the Premier League. Whereas there's another, you know, there's 92 teams from the Premier League down to League Two. And then there's obviously a lot more non-league teams, you know, so it would benefit 4-5 teams maybe, instead of benefiting 120 or 130 sides. And the money that they get can be, you know, life-changing for a club. It can be the difference in the club being able to survive through a pandemic, what we just had, being the difference of a club being able to go out and, you know, expand their facilities, develop their players and develop their young players as well. And that's what the FA Cup is about.
Yeah, and at Newport, at Grimsby and other clubs you've been at, have you always had the sense, like when you're in the middle of a league campaign, that whenever the FA Cup rounds, whether it's first or second, come true, there's an immediate kind of switch of focus, and this is like the next big, this is the big thing to focus on?
Yeah, and a lot of the times it's, you know, if you're going through a difficult stage in the league, it's a great, you know, free shot for you. It's a good distraction to have. You know, and then kind of we've been lucky since I've joined Newport that really the 4 years I've been here, we've got to the third round every year. I think previously the club had never done that or done it once in 30 years. So that was a big, it's a big achievement for all the players that have been involved and the staff in those games. And again, I alluded to it earlier on, the game, the money that the club has earned throughout those three seasons in the FA Cup of third, fourth and fifth round and the TV games, the prize money, has allowed the club to, you know, be in a healthy position coming into a year like we've just had.
Yeah, and it can be challenging, obviously, facing, you know, the daunting task of a Premier League team. But in a way, can it be, easier in a way than sometimes playing another League Two, League One team in certain ways?
Yeah, because look, there's no pressure when it's a Premier League team. Look, the first and foremost, you're going out there and you're hoping, you know, they don't play it to 100%, because if you play to 100%, they play to 100%, there's only, you know, they'll win the game. You know, you're just hoping that first you don't get battered in the game. You're hoping, because you've seen drubbings in big games like this, you know, and you're just hoping you're not involved in them. And obviously we've been lucky enough to get some very good results. So maybe now there's a little bit more of an expectation on us coming into this game. And maybe, not saying that the other teams took us lightly, but Brighton will be a lot more worried about Newport County than maybe they would have been 5 years ago if the sides met in the same round.
Yeah, and like, you've scored against the likes of Manchester City, so Pep's City, Leicester as well, Middlesbrough and Spurs, just to name a few. What's Newport like, you know, after you've you know, scored against teams like that, and in many of those cases you actually went on and knocked them out? Is it a kind of thing that when you go down to the supermarket you're kind of like stopped wherever you go, or do you just kind of hide out in the house until everything calms down?
No, look, it's great. Like, you know, the one thing that I've noticed kind of since the first year when we went on that first run is, if you're in around Newport, you'd see people walking about in Man United, Liverpool tops, Cardiff tops, whatever it would be. But now you just see people wearing Newport County tops. You know, their club has been put on a map, you know, by the players and the staff who've done so well in those games. And you know, that's what you want to see. You want to see young kids walking around proud to wear their hometown shirt. And also, it's great for those fans as well. They're delighted because they get to see, obviously, some world-class players come to play at their home stadium. You know, for some of those, to be able to see them in the flesh is brilliant, because otherwise, it's usually just TV. You get to see, you know, the Man City team, or, you know, Aguero coming down, David Silva, Harry Kane. So they're delighted, obviously. And look, there might be a few extra conversations had with supporters in the supermarket, but if it means we're after beating a Premier League team, I'll take a few more of them, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you have Brighton coming up on Sunday. In terms of your own kind of expectations going in, now that you have this kind of, I suppose, very personal relationship with the competition, and it seems like any time you play in it, you score, regardless of the opposition. Do you almost feel like you have an expectation on yourself that you will score?
I feel like every game I go into I can score, and so even when the referee blows the final whistle, if I haven't scored, it's one of those things. And you just, you know, first and foremost, I hope we go out and get a good result. You know, it's not the poor gammon show or anything like that. Again, there's seven or eight lads who've been involved in every FA Cup game since I've been here, still at the club, and if it wasn't for those players putting their performances in, you know, we wouldn't have had those opportunities. I wouldn't have had those opportunities to score the goals. I said it to one of the lads today, they don't show the last ditch tackles on Match of the Day and the very short roundup. They only show the goal going in. So, you know, players have missed out on stuff like that. But we're lucky that we have a very good squad. You know, whoever scores the goals of the weekend, it doesn't matter, as long as the club gets a good result. And, you know, if I can chip in and score that goal, you know, fair. Brilliant as well. That's an added bonus. But, you know, as I said to you, the FA Cup is very big for the club with regards financial side of it and prize money. And that's the most important thing to us. Are we going to win the FA Cup? It's a long shot. It's a very, very long shot. And we need a lot of things to go right for us. So success for us in it is getting to the third round minimum, getting a TV game, and enjoying it, because there's no pressure on us then.
Yeah. And you've really settled well at the club over the last... it's now 4 years, obviously we're just into 2021, since you've been at Newport. what's it about the club that kind of really helped you settle? And same thing with Grimsby, I suppose, as well, because you had a really good season when you were with them as well.
I think with regards to Newport here, it's just, it's a good set of lads. You know, as I said to you, there's seven or eight lads who've been here throughout it all. So we've got a good kind of, you know, core group that, you know, your mates, like, you know, the friends of yours, you're not just teammates, you know, you enjoy socialising with them, you enjoy, well, obviously we haven't got to socialise for about a year now, but like you enjoy being around them, you know, and you enjoy working hard for them because you know they are going to work hard for you as well and they're never going to let you down. I think that's what's kind of the thing of a club like this. You've got hard-working players. There's no airs and graces about them. And Grimsby was pretty similar. We had a good group there. And things just seemed to click into place that season for the whole lot of us. You know, and that's what you need to happen for a club to be successful.
Yeah, and Michael Flynn, of course, the manager, he's been key. And I suppose the other thing as well, the fact that he's also born in the town and he played more than one spell there as well. As a man manager, and I suppose your own relationship with him, particularly this season as well, where, like, obviously in previous seasons you've been top scorer for the club every campaign, and this season has been a little bit different. How key has that relationship been in terms of, I suppose, keeping everything positive?
Yeah, look, it is. It's massive. You know, your manager, you know, you want to enjoy playing for them and enjoying working every day, because if you don't, it very quickly becomes not the best job in the world, because it is the best job in the world for me. Look, you get to train every day. It's what a lot of people grow up wanting to be, footballers, and, you know, we get that opportunity to do. You know, because of where he's from, he's been in Newport, born in Newport, it gives you that little bit of a connection between the town as well. And you know the struggles the club has had, you know, because it's not all been rosy for Newport. There's been times the club has been very, very close. It has gone out of business, and there's been times where it's been very close to going out of business again. And, you know, it goes back to that Mark O'Brien goal that relegated us at Hartlepool and kept Newport up. And if that goal doesn't go in, if the manager doesn't go on that run when he took over the club, the Great Escape year, we don't get the opportunity to do what we have done in the last few years. And, you know, it's important that, you know, you like working, playing for your manager, or you like, you know, the staff he's brought in as well. Wayne Hatswell as well, he's assistant manager. You know, the good people and people you want to do well for.
Yeah, and in light of all of that, in terms of last season, obviously with the pandemic, League One, League Two, were all curtailed. How worrying was it as a player, I suppose, when there's that bit of uncertainty? Fortunately now, obviously, the games are going ahead. Hopefully at some point fans will come back. But just in that period where I think it was with 10 games to go, everything kind of gets called off. But I imagine it was concerning.
Yeah, it was. Look, but I suppose there's a bigger picture on it all. Things that were going on. There was 10 games left in the season. If it had been 10 games gone in the season, there might have been a different situation. It would have been a longer period without football. Look, there's bigger things going on in the world now. So we're very, very lucky that we're getting the opportunity to continue to do our jobs. We're trying to do everything as best as we can. We're in and out of the training ground as quick as possible, socially distancing at all times. And just enjoying the fact that, you know, we can have some sort of a bit of normality throughout the week. And then on a Saturday, bring some sort of normality to the supporters who have to sit at home and watch the games on TV. You know, they're the ones that are missing out more so than anything, supporters of all football, because for a lot of them, it's been their way of life for every second Saturday or every Tuesday night going to, you know, getting up and going to watch their hometown play or going watching their team play. And they haven't got to do that for nearly 10 months, 11 months now. So, you know, it's been difficult for those people. And we've been quite conscious as a club. We've been proactive in Zoom calls and doing different sign stuff being sent to supporters to try keep spirits up at this time, because they're the life and soul of a football club, and without supporters, the football club goes, and they've been brilliant to us throughout it all. So hopefully on Sunday, you know, we won't have those fans there at Rodney Parade spurring us on, but we know they'll all be watching, and hopefully they can be proud of the performance we put in.
Yeah, and actually something I was kind of curious about, and I suppose it goes back to the start of your career. And when I say start of your career, when you were in primary school, going into starting off at Shamrock Rovers, you're a country lad, obviously from Carlow, and kind of similar to myself, I'm kind of from a county in the shape of Leitrim that's kind of in between a load of League of Ireland clubs. In terms of a connection, in terms of, you know, that road and pathway towards becoming a pro footballer, how difficult was it, I suppose, coming from a county where there isn't, a top-level club there, and there is the sense that maybe you have to travel further afield to progress?
I kind of look at it as a bit of an advantage as well, though, because there was times I was playing hurling and Gaelic football when I probably shouldn't have been, so they didn't know much about it because...
I think was one of the local papers found out that you were going under the name Brendan or something?
Yes, potentially. I was playing with the Carlow Minor Hurlers, and I remember we were playing a game at 2 o'clock on a Saturday, and I was supposed to be playing with Shamrock Rovers that evening, so I made sure I was out of all the photos that I would. The team photos that was put under Brendan Hammond not on the official team sheet. I was on my right name, but I was for the newspapers. But it was a different name. So I didn't want to let anyone down more. So I was just 17, and country lad, you said, don't want to let anyone down. You can't say no.
Yeah.
So you tried to please everyone, and yeah, look, it was one of those things that I just done. I was, happy enough to do it as well. We got Offaly beat us that day, and then I played against Kildare County that night for Shamrock Rovers. So it was 50-50. It was nearly a great day. But I did that for a little bit. But I loved playing every sport growing up. And I believe playing all those sports helped me further on in my career with different things, with your hand-eye coordination, with different movements you would have had. And definitely helped me, and I wouldn't have changed any of it.
Yeah, and in terms of producing more players, I suppose, from those kind of places that are kind of in between, I'm not saying I'm expecting like a Messi to arrive from Leitrim or from any of those kind of counties, but in terms of the future, because it's going to get harder to keep producing players, and it's one of those things we're trying to do, I suppose, as a country to spread the game. And I wonder, is there anything you kind of think maybe would be helpful for the next generation in terms of players coming through from your Carlos, your Leitrims, your Cavins? Obviously, Killian Sheridan has played senior international football for Ireland and kind of those other places.
I think what what's happened in the last kind of 10 years, I think with the FAI Emerging Talent Programme has been very, very important. It means that, I travelled to Dublin to play in the top league in the country at the time. And the DSL might still be the top league in the country, but players don't have to travel now to play in that to be noticed, because with the Emerging Talent Programme, with the regional sides that they've had, and you have players that are getting an opportunity now to showcase themselves. And there's players coming through. We've had a lot of kind of underage internationals in Carlow, men's and women's football, and I'm sure every other county is the exact same. It's good to have the spread around the country, and people able to stay playing their local leagues as well, but knowing that they can play on the emerging talent side. And look, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think what they're doing at the moment is important, and it's working.
Yeah, and even speaking to Killian Sheridan there, I was kind of chatting to him before Christmas, and I kind of always find it kind of interesting, Irish players who do go abroad. And I remember we actually spoke on the radio about 5 or 6 years ago now. We're 2021, so I think it was like 2015 or whatever, about your time in Portugal. And you kind of spoke about the positives that you experienced there. And I suppose, that's about 10 years ago now since you played with Paços de Ferreira. But in that time span, and as you look at yourself as a player now, what are the kind of, I suppose, long-term benefits you felt from having had that two-year experience out there?
Look, I think it's important for players. I've said this before, coming to England isn't the be-all and end-all for everyone, because sometimes it doesn't suit the player. Probably being over here suits me a lot better than maybe what the playing on the continent did. But you have certain players who, if let's use Wes Hoolan as an example. Even though Wes Hoolan ended up playing in the Premier League and having such a fantastic career, if he was Spanish or if he was Portuguese, the team would be built around him. And for a lot of the time here, it was always, he's too small. But other people are saying he's too small. And technically, he was a fantastic player. And obviously, you see Jack Byrne moving over to Apple Nicosia in the last couple of weeks. Well, last week. And but obviously, Mick is
Mick has left today. But, hours after the debut.
Yeah, but Jack has shown that he's not afraid to make moves like that. He's gone to Holland before. You know, playing that style of football is only going to help our international team, I think. You have people who are comfortable on the ball and people who just want to, you know, be creative. You know, because we can be pigeonholed sometimes in the style of football that we play, and Stephen Kenny is trying to change that. And I think he's doing a very good job at this moment, considering how strange the past year has been. You don't turn up to a playoff game and lose two players any other year or three players any other year an hour before the game because of close contacts and stuff like that. So look, things have been difficult on that side. But playing abroad is, I think people need to kind of look at that a little bit more. As I said to you initially, it suits players to play on the continent, the style of football, and it's only going to have more benefits for the country, I think, in the longer term.
Yeah, and I suppose finally, before I let you go, I remember after you scored against Middlesbrough in the Cup a couple of years ago, you talked about coaching some of the youngsters, because I think one of the goals you scored actually was something you had been you'd been showing one of the young strikers at Newport at the time in terms of how to, how a ball comes in. Are you still coaching away with Newport, and where are you at in terms of your licenses? I know you had the A license, I think, done, but is that something you're planning to, I suppose, continue going into the future?
Yeah, look, it's something I am planning in the future. It's hard to commit to the pro license while you're playing, because there's a couple of weeks in the year where you end up having to do a full week away on a case study and different places, and obviously it's not ideal while you're playing. You can't be gone for missing a game for Saturday. But yeah, no, with the coaching side of it over here, I took a step back last year just because I was after getting married, wanted to enjoy the first kind of year of married life, and then the pandemic kind of kicked in. So the plan is to get back involved in it eventually. But I've been lucky enough that, you know, played a small part and when I was coaching the 16s, a lot of those players have come through now. There's, I think, six or seven of them have made their debut this year in various cup competitions. And I've obviously been on the pitch with them at certain stages as well, which has been a proud moment for me as well. But it's nice to just play a small part in those players' development. And it's a different kind of pride that you get than you would if you're out on the pitch yourself.
Well, anyway, it's good. Hopefully you get a bit of commission as well at some point off the players who come through. But best of luck this weekend against Brighton. That's coming up on Sunday. And hopefully you get your lucky 13 in terms of the competition proper number of goals. But best of luck, Parag.
Well, thank you very much, Raph.